Spirit of God, we ask you to come and fall on us in a special way today. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, singers. Such great, great singing today. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Very familiar passage of Scripture, verse 28. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. And would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word. When Jesus spoke these words we're about to read so many thousands of years ago, how beautiful it is to know that they're as applicable today as they were the day he spoke them. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I want to preach just for a few moments this morning on the subject of the great invitation. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit that we've been made to feel. Lord Jesus, I just ask today that you'll take these words we're about to speak and that they would be a blessing to your people. Lord, that you would anoint this service in such a way that it would bring such an overwhelming peace and comfort to everyone who's in turmoil today, everyone who is hurting today. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that you came and that you were anointed in Luke 4, 18. You said you came to heal the brokenhearted. And Lord, I ask you today, do your mighty work in us. Have your way today, Holy Spirit of God. We turn this service over to you. Use us, Lord. Use us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I've shared with this congregation in time past what a great spiritual influence, probably the greatest, my grandfather was upon me as a young boy. He went to be with the Lord when I was 12 years old. And with my real father passing away a couple of months before I was born, he was really the only earthly father outside of my stepfather who would not come until I was about 15 that I ever knew. And I've shared with you how Grandpa would read the Bible. It was his hobby. I never will forget he said that one time. He said, somebody told him, "John L., you need to get a hobby." And I remember he had his Bible on his lap that day, and he held it up, and he said, "This is my hobby." He knew it backwards and forwards. I've shared with you how other preachers would call him with questions they had about the Bible, and without even opening it, Grandpa could readily answer. But when he took sick, he spent about his last two weeks on this earth in the hospital. As his lungs began to fill with fluid, he had black lung due to the fact that he worked for about 20-some years in the coal mines of West Virginia. And the very last time I spoke to Grandpa, he was pretty weak and laying there in the bed, and I was the only one in the room with him. And he looked over at me, and he told me he loved me. And I saw the faraway look in his eye that day. And even though I was only 12 years old, I sensed that he probably didn't have long left with us here on planet Earth. But I'll never forget what he told me that day, and this was the last words he ever spoke to me. He said, "Greg, take everything to Jesus." I never forgot that. He said, "Take everything to Jesus." And then he rolled over and went to sleep, and that was the last words he ever spoke to me. The next day, he went home to be with the Lord very early in the morning. And those words made an indelible impression upon me, that even though for a time in my early life as a young man, I did not live for the Lord Jesus Christ, those words never left me. Take everything to Jesus. At that time in my life, I did not realize that, in effect, Grandpa was quoting the very scripture that we read this morning. And that's really the only answer for getting through this life, is the very scripture we read today. Is that when Jesus Christ himself gave the great invitation, sending it out to all of us, because we're all born into this world, born into sin, born into a very difficult situation. And Jesus Christ is the only hope for humanity. Jesus is our only hope. And as he said these words to his disciples this day in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The words thrill my soul this morning to know that we can take everything to the Lord of glory. And he is going to know and understand exactly where we are. And he will never treat us, even if we've done wrong, even if we have made a mess of things, glory to God. He still says, come unto me. You bring it to me. Because he can fix anything, glory to God. He can fix anything, hallelujah. Come unto me. That's the great invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the whole of humanity. Because when you come to Jesus, you'll get help. When you come to Jesus, you'll find grace. When you come to Jesus, you'll find power. When you come to Jesus, you find peace. When you come to Jesus, you find glory. When you come to Jesus, you find forgiveness of sin. When you come to Jesus, you find baptism in the mighty Holy Ghost. When you come to Jesus, you find power to go through any situation that this life can throw at you. So that's why it's called the Great Invitation, and the answer to everything that we're going through this morning is found in these beautiful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, glory to God. That's the answer. He said, come unto me, all. All. His great call of grace goes out to everyone. Jesus loves humanity. All. All. Do you realize what a statement that is when he says, come unto me, all ye? He's calling to the child molester. He's calling to those who we would deem the vermin of society. Come to me. Come to me. Because only in Jesus Christ can transforming, life-changing power be found. Only in Jesus Christ can any situation be transformed from darkness into light. Jesus can do these things, and only he can. Come unto me, all ye that labor. This morning, as mankind is born into sin, every one of us come into this world with a weight on our back that is so heavy, so burdensome. It's the weight of sin. And the sad part is that without Christ, man is going to labor voraciously to try and eradicate that horrible weight of sin that he comes into this world with. And Jesus was speaking also to the religious leaders of his day, that they had put the people who were already laden down with sin under such religious law, and that adds to the weight. See, religion, the doing of religion, for a time may make man feel like he's really achieving something. But it doesn't take very long to find out that the doing of religion does not remove the horrible weight and penalty of sin that mankind is under. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day were causing the people to labor so by trying to perform laws that went beyond the Ten Commandments. It went beyond the law of the Old Testament. And nobody can meet that standard. Hence, Jesus was referring to this very thing when he said, all ye that labor, all ye that are working so hard to try to be right with God, all ye that are laboring so hard to try to come out from under the weight of sin that plagues your soul. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I remember the days before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't forgotten what a horrible weight sin is on a person's life and the toll it takes on a person's life. and that this continual crushing weight is there, no matter how happy you may look to the outside world, no matter how together you may look to those around you, that horrible crushing weight of sin, unless it's dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ, wears and eats away at the soul in ways that I can't describe today. It's a horrible thing. But Jesus gave this invitation to all who are under this horrible weight of sin. And it's so sad to watch people try to get the sin out of their lives through human efforts, through man-made programs, through pills, through drugs, through alcohol, through a myriad of ways. I feel sorry for people like that. I don't condemn them. They are trying the only things they know to try to get out from under this horrible and heavy weight of sin that Jesus was referring to. They're under labor. They're heavy. They're laden down. And they're trying anything they can to feel better, a little bit better, just for a few moments. And I remember what that weight felt like. Do you remember? Do you remember what it felt like to be under that bondage of sin, to be under that heavy weight of sin? But glory to God, the day we answered that invitation, come unto me. There's an old song that we sang years ago when I was a little boy in the Church of God that I loved it when they sang it then, and I love the words to it now. I never shall forget the day when all the burden of my sin was rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. This morning, as we sit in this church, we're in somewhat of a somber mood in that we've lost a dear friend. We've not lost him eternally. We've lost him temporarily. Ned Turvey. How I love Ned. And I want to be frank with you this morning. It's hard for me to minister today. Ned, I loved him. He was a real brother to me, even more than that, like a father. And I don't want to... I don't know if I should even tell this or not. But I was talking with Vonnie this morning before service, and I said, you know, there was one time I thought Ned was going to claw some guy's eyes out over me. It was when we were at another church. We was in a council meeting. And this guy just attacked me, and it was wrong what he was doing. And Ned just jumped up, and Dennis, you were in that meeting, I believe. We thought we was going to have to grab him and hold him down. I had to step in front of him. Ned loved me, and I loved him. And it's hard for me to minister this morning, so please forgive me if I'm a little bit skewed, and I'm not really thinking as, I never think good, but if I'm not thinking as good as normal, because I'm going to miss him. But I know where he's at. I know where he's at this morning. That's the joy. That's the joy. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that at 4 o'clock this morning, Ned Turvey heard those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now thou into the joy of the Lord." Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Because he came to Jesus. Ned accepted this call of Jesus. Come unto me. And Ned loved the message of the cross because it was the gospel and he saw that. Praise God. And he would not want us to lament this morning. He wouldn't. If he could speak to us, he'd say, you all shout. He'd say, hey, it's everything up here Jesus said it was. Do not only come to him, but stay in him because it's worth it all. Every heartache, every trouble, every trial. Hey, when you get here, guess what? His words are true. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Glory to God. He entered into that rest at 4 o'clock this morning. As I was visiting with him on Wednesday, I spent the whole day with him practically, or a big part of it. I saw that same faraway look in Ned's eyes that I saw in my grandpa's eyes. And being a minister, you know, you will always, how can I say this, Lord, help me to say it right. I always want to be positive anyway. And Ned cried as I was ready to leave that day. I'll never forget some of the last words he spoke to me, I believe it was. He said, "Pastor, I don't know how I'll ever be able to pay you back for all you've done for me. I don't know how." I said, "Ned," I said, "number one, you don't have to pay me back." But I said, "number two, if you can do anything for me, would you get well?" And as I didn't say this to Deb because she's been under a whole lot anyway. But as I walked out the door that day and I got in my car, I didn't know it would happen this soon. And I even checked it. If it was from the Lord, I wasn't sure. But he said, "I'm going to heal him. But not in the way you think." 4 o'clock this morning, God healed him. He got a brand new body. One that's never going to wear out or grow old. One that's never going to suffer disease anymore. One that's never going to have the lungs filled with fluid as his lungs were the last time I talked to him. He reminded me, Deb, so much of my grandpa that day that I sat and talked with him. He really did. And I teared up driving home that day because I wasn't sure how much longer he was going to have with us. But I still was believing God. "God, you said you're going to heal him." But you know, in our minds, in this life, and I told the praise team this morning, we as humans can't get our mind around death in this natural world here. The only way we can understand it and have peace is to stand on the promises of Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, "Come unto me." This morning, don't be angry. Because it was not a defeat at 4 o'clock this morning when Ned left that mortal coil. It was victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus swallowed it all up at Calvary. That's why he tells us today, come to him. The only way you can make sense out of this life is to look at it through these words of Jesus. Come unto me. Come unto me. It's the only thing that makes sense. And this morning, it's all right to grieve. Because I miss Ned, I'll be honest with you. I find it hard ministering, just like I did when Sister Mary went home. It was months, Helen, because she used to sit right there next to you. I would look up and think, "Where's Mary this morning?" And then my mind would immediately flash, "Oh, she's with Jesus." It'll take me a long time, as it will some of you, not to see Ned Turvey sitting right here on this front pew whenever I would say something about how the cross gave us victory or any positive comment about what Christ did for us on the cross. "Amen, Pastor." Remember hearing him say that? Praise God. Praise God. What a blessing he was to my life. What a blessing he was to this church. Because Ned had a cool head about him. He really did. Now, he had a temper, don't get me wrong. But he always seemed, outside of that one time, that's the only time I ever seen Ned honestly lose his cool in the whole time I knew him. And I've sat in other council meetings with him because he's been a church leader for a long time when things would get hot and heated. And even I'd get out of control. Now, that's hard for you to believe, ain't it? But Ned always kept his head. And he always had words of grace and comfort and love. That's what made Ned such a great man of God and such a great leader. He was instrumental in helping us start this church. Matter of fact, he was the second one who called me. I got 3 calls the day after I left Christ Chapel, and I was planning to go back into secular employment and just evangelize. I had no idea of planting a church. I didn't know how to plant a church. Michelle was the first one to call me. I said, "Pastor, what are we going to do?" And I thought, "What do you mean, what are we going to do? It's you guys. I'm gone. They've kicked me out." Church of God kicked me and my family to the curb, you know what? And she said, "No, we need to have a church." And my heart skipped, and I'm like, "Well, Michelle, you know, I don't know what you mean." She said, "Well, we need to start a church." She was so adamant. You know, that's one thing about Michelle. Once she gets something going, get out of her way, man, because it's going to get done. Amen. She don't take no for an answer. I mean, those of you that worked with her in the choir or in the youth or wherever you worked with Michelle, Andy knows what I'm talking about. It's shouting time for Andy. And she said, no, we need to start a church. She said, we need to get together and we need to keep this message going. And I was like, well, okay, I'll pray about it. Ned was the second one to call me. And he said, Pastor, you know, where are we going to be meeting at this Sunday? But he would not want us. He would not want us. It's okay to grieve because we're going to miss his physical presence. But I know this morning that Ned would want us to throw up our hands and shout the victory with him, that he's won the prize. You know, church, it ain't going to be long because we have come unto Jesus that we're going to join him. The things going on over in Egypt are setting the plan in the Middle East for the rise of the Antichrist and for Armageddon. How close to the rapture must we be? Hallelujah. Yes, Chris, it's worth shouting over in it. Soon and very soon, church, that's what Ned would want us to focus on, is that we're going to have that great meeting around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the only way we'll make sense out of it is by abiding in these words in Matthew 11:28. It's the only way we'll make sense out of this life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Only Jesus can give it, Katie. Only Jesus can give it, Linda. Forgot your name there for a minute. Only Jesus can give rest. Rest in the time of trouble. Rest in the midst of turmoil. Rest in the midst of when your world's falling apart. You may think, but if you're in Jesus, the Lord has this for somebody this morning. Whatever he allows to be torn down, it's because he's getting ready to build it if you're still in him. And when he rebuilds it, it'll be better. It'll be stronger than it ever was before he tore it down. Glory to God. Know this morning. And I know this is no new truth, but I feel to say it so strongly. Satan cannot touch one of us as children of God, except God allow him to. And sometimes the Lord will allow him a certain amount of latitude in the life of the believer. And Satan is going to think, I've destroyed it. I've torn them down. Everything they ever had is gone now. But God allowed him to put his hand forth. The book of Job teaches this. God allowed him to put his hand forth on your life. And if he has, this morning the Holy Spirit wants you to shout the victory. Keep your faith in Jesus. Come unto him because he's getting ready to rebuild it. And he's getting ready to make it stronger and better than it ever could have been before. That's the grace of God. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the rest of Jesus Christ. That's the glory of Jesus Christ. I don't want to live this life without him because only he can give rest. Hallelujah. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Those words reverberate through my soul this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit's causing them to reverberate through your soul. That's the answer for everything. Come unto me. When we don't understand, come unto me. When we feel crushed and defeated, come unto me. There's victory in him. When we feel torn apart, come unto me, because he can unscramble scrambled eggs. He can do what nobody else can do if we'll just abide in him, rest in him. That's why I said, I'll give you rest. And I'm closing on this thought. This morning, we need that rest as a body. And you know what makes me feel so good this morning? When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. Now I want you to think of who we're talking about here. This Jesus had already raised the dead. He had already healed blinded eyes. He had already performed many miracles. And Jesus was fully cognizant of who he was. He was the Son of God in the flesh. God incarnate, if you will, in the flesh. As he approached the tomb of Lazarus, He's met by Martha and several of the mourners. And they said, Lord, only if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. I want you to think about that for a moment. Even though he knew who he was, the Son of God with all power, and even though he knew within a few moments' time he was going to speak the words, Lazarus, come forth, and raise him from the dead, Jesus cried when he saw the heartbreak of Martha and those mourners. He sees our heartbreak this morning at the temporary loss of Ned. And he's crying with us today, even though he knows Ned's already with him in a glorified body. He understands human grief. He understands our lack of ability in these limited mortal coils to understand eternity. And he weeps with us this morning. But the Bible says that sweet in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. While he weeps with us on one side, he rejoices with Ned over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay to grieve, but don't let that grief overwhelm you this morning, because we're going to see him again, because we've come unto Jesus. And I'm looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. I feel that so this morning. I so feel a powerful, gentle moving of the Holy Spirit over all of us today, reminding us, yes, I, your Lord and Savior, who went to the cross for you, knowing that your loved one and brother and my son Ned is with me today, yet I share and I understand your grief and the temporary separation. But I believe this is from the Holy Spirit this morning as we close. Because you have come unto me, I'm going to give you the rest. I'm going to renew my promises in your heart. And my Holy Spirit is going to continually be there with you to remind you, you have the same eternal life and you have the same victory that my son Ned experienced this morning. Come unto me. When your heart's broken, go to Jesus. When your world's falling apart, go to Jesus. You know, sometimes it's even something we've caused. And his grace is so great, he'll still help us out of it. Wow! Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, there's nobody like him. Hallelujah to his name forever. That's why I love him. Because of the way, not only for what he did for us on the cross, my Lord, that would have been enough. More than enough. But when you come unto him, he gives you that blessed rest. And that word in Greek, I'm not going to lose you in Greek this morning because it's not worth it right now. But it literally means everything you'll ever have need of, I'll provide it for you. Hallelujah. I didn't say some things. I said everything. The clothes on your back, a place to live, fixing things. Yeah, you know, I got a prod. I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me to put this across before we close. Do you know the greatest thing about grace, and the hardest thing for me personally to understand about God's grace, is how he will lovingly fix things that I have broken and caused. That's my fault. Now, yeah, you have to repent over it first. That's paramount. Don't get me wrong. It's not automatic. I need to preach a full gospel here. But when you come to the foot of his cross with anything, that's why he said, come unto me. You bring it to the foot of the cross and you stand there helpless and admit that helplessness and repent over what you've done. His grace says, okay, I'll fix it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though I was the one who made the mess, even though I was the one that done wrong, when we repent, he says, okay, I love you. I'll give you grace. I'll give you rest. And I'll fix it for you. I got to preach here before I close. Aren't you glad that he didn't say go to Rick Warren? Aren't you glad that he didn't say go to some television evangelist? But he said, come unto me, glory to God. Come unto me, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Would you stand to your feet? I don't know everyone here today, and I would never want to be remiss if someone was not right with God, we would not give an opportunity for that to take place. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you the question today, are you right with God? If you said, yes, I'm right with God, let me ask you another question. What makes you right with God? If your answer is something like, well, I try to be good, or I try to do all that the Lord says, that's not good enough. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means we as humans, no matter how hard we try, we cannot meet his standard of 100% perfection. That's what Jesus was all about. He came and he met that standard for us. So that only through faith in what he did at the cross and faith in the perfect life that Jesus lived can we be made perfect and have our sins washed away. Until we come to Jesus with our sin and allow his precious blood to wash it away by presenting ourselves to him and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I cannot cleanse myself. I cannot make myself through my human efforts right to be made right with you. I place my faith in what you've done for me at the cross. I asked your blood to cleanse me from all my sin, and I asked your Holy Spirit to renew me and take this weight of sin off of my life. That's the only way to be made right with God. That's the only way. That's not a way. Buddha cannot do that for you. Muhammad cannot do that for you. Chanting Islamic prayers will not do that for mankind. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And in essence, what he was saying, no man is made right before God except through me. I want to ask the question again, are you right with God this morning? And if you say yes, the only reason you can be right with God is because your faith is exclusively in Christ and what he did for you at the cross. If you gave any other answer, I take no pride or privilege or pleasure in telling you this. You're not right with God. You are not right with God. The only answer is yes, I'm right. Because my faith is in his precious shed blood for me on the cross. Are there any now here who would say, as I ask the question again, are you right with God? Who would say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. I feel the Holy Spirit calling me. Are there any at all? If you're not right with God today and you want to be, I promise you we're not going to embarrass you in any way or humiliate you in any way. You're just admitting, I need him. I'm coming to him. I'm coming to him. Are there any at all? Any at all? Quickly, before we move on to another part of the service. I'm going to ask everyone who will then. And I'm going to ask Deb especially, would you come, Deb, and let us pray for you and let's gather around as the family of God, and ask for the Holy Spirit to comfort all of us. And Chloe, honey, you come too, sweetie. Come with your grandma. Everybody come and gather around them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all right. We'll see him again soon. Everybody come in. Lay hands on all of us. And let's join together as the family of God. Heavenly Father, just as you wept at the tomb of Lazarus, I sense you weeping with us today. But Lord, I also sense you rejoicing today. And Lord, give Deb and Chloe and her entire family, Brian and Sandy, Andy. Lord, touch them all today, I pray. Ned's brothers and sisters. Lord, we come unto you today. And our words seem so halting, and words fail me right now, Lord, but your words never fail. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord, we're going to miss Ned. We miss him now. But Lord, we know we're going to see him again soon and very soon. And the next time we see him, he won't be coughing. He won't be too weak to walk. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. He'll have strong legs. And he'll have clear lungs. And we'll hear him in that wonderful deep voice say, I've been waiting for you. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Lord, comfort our entire church today. And we thank you for the privilege of having known Ned. Thank you for sending him into our lives, Lord Jesus. For he was a blessing to us all. And Lord, I so sense a beautiful presence of your Holy Spirit just hovering over us right now. Church, don't you feel that? Lord, thank you for the rest. Thank you for the rest. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hita yada baha sanda di yala maha kiri di yala baha si yala baha shita di yala baha si yala da di yala baha kaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your rest today. Praise God. Let's just worship him, saints. Lift your hands and worship him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the promises that we have in you. But most of all, we thank you for the promise and the gift of eternal life that we know is ours and cannot be taken away from us. Let us walk out of here in victory today, knowing that you have overcome death, hell, and the grave. We come unto you, Jesus, and we receive your rest today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just drink in his presence this morning, church. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Bless her today, Lord. Bless them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Deb, we love you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sure in the next day or so there'll be some funeral arrangements. We're going to need all of you maybe to help in some way. I'll be putting out phone trees and giving you information about as quick as I get it. Just kind of, if you would, as a church, just kind of stay on call. And we're going to get through this because we've come to Jesus. And we're going to let his rest minister to us through it. And his grace is sufficient. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Be sure you hug Deb's neck and love on her. And Deb, whatever you need from us, we're your family. I don't care what it is. Let us know. We'll do it. Okay. God bless y'all. I don't know, Deb, does it appear like maybe you'll be having the funeral on Wednesday? I would maybe think. Be listening for a phone tree. If the funeral's on Wednesday, we probably will not have service that Wednesday night. But we'll get to you on that. God bless you. Let's walk out of here in victory today. Amen? Because we have victory in Jesus. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you so much. You're dismissed. Praise God.